Fatty's Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies this week, otherwise known as the Kevin Carr Show. And I'll tell you why.
Yes.
Because Kevin Carr is the only guy in this room who has seen all the movies on our list.
Well, no, I haven't even seen all the movies. I've seen any movies. You've seen 10 minutes of one of the movies.
I watched some of the movies, just not the ones that come out this week. That's okay. Right. I've seen movies that come out next week.
Because there's actually more movies that come out next week for Thanksgiving.
This is true. And the movies that we're going to talk about this week include Beowulf, the 3D epic adaptation of the very not-so-epic or very epic, like, isn't
the
it like a 10-page poem or something?
It's the original sort of fictional piece.
Yes. We're also going to talk about Love in the Time of Cholera.
Not epic at all.
Starring one of the most intensely, how can I say this appropriately, badass guys of the year.
Well,
Love in the Time of Cholera is Javier Bardem.
He wasn't badass in Love in the Time of Cholera.
Right. He was in No Country for Old Men.
But he was recently
recently
voted one of the most sexiest men alive by People magazine.
We'll talk about that momentarily. We're also going to talk about Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, starring Dustin Hoffman and Natalie Portman.
And a zebra. And Jason Bateman. That's the order of the credits, actually.
Yes. And for our internet exclusive segment, if I may, we're going to talk about the most disturbing nude scenes in film history. So if you're listening to us on the radio, make sure you check us out, fatguysatthemovies.com. That is where that segment will probably go to die.
Yes, and that is how to get a hold of us.
Yes.
How else do we get a hold of us, Neil Miller? Please.
You can get us on
iTunes.
You can
give us this information.
Yes, you can get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We're going to give you a really good reason to email us here in a little while. And if you'd like to give us a call, area code 614-388-8735.
There we go.
Yeah.
Let's move on to reviews, since there's only three movies opening wide this week.
Right.
As opposed to next week when there's, 17 or 18, something like that?
27, actually.
27.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a ton of movies opening wide. This week there's only three. Neil's seen 10 minutes of one of them. And that would be
Beowulf.
As Angelina Jolie says in the movie, Beowulf.
No, you're the one they call Beowulf.
Beowulf.
Anyways, you'll hear that when we play the clip right now.
Are you the one they call Beowulf? Such a strong man you are.
I am Ripper, Terror, Slasher. I am the chief in the darkness, the challenge in the night. Mine is strength and lust and power. I am Beowulf!
Just seems so angry.
I am Kevin Carr. That's what I say. I think I'm going to do that every time I enter a room from now on. I'm just going to announce myself. I am Ripper, Shredder, Eater,
yeah.
Devourer, Cream Pie Eater, you know, bananas and whatever. I'm now, Kevin Carr.
Well, and it's funny that you bring that up because I actually gave my pass to the movie to a friend, and that is
what
one
an
thing,
awesome movie reviewer you are.
That is,
you're
well,
so
I'm
diligent.
Such a nice guy.
You're like, here, go see this movie. Tell me what you
but
think. I'll talk about it on the radio.
That's one of the things that he said is he says, I am Beowulf like 12 times in the movie, unnecessarily.
Well, what's wrong with that? He just reminds people because they all look the same. They're all computer generated.
Yeah, but the movie's what, like not even 2 hours long?
It's, I think, 6 hours long. No, it's it's right around 2 hours.
Well, here's what I heard and what I can tell you, because I saw, as Kevin said earlier, I saw 10 minutes of it at Comic-Con, so I feel like I can almost say something about this movie at this point. It's a very cool 3D concept. It's a cool movie to look at, but I heard extremely dry, extremely short on depth of story, and in many ways very boring.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never read Beowulf. I never really studied the original epic poem. So I can't tell you exactly how it relates, but
it's about
a guy who
sex
kills
with
a monster.
Angelina Jolie monster.
Yeah, well, kills a monster, sex with Angelina Jolie monster, and then has to kill another monster. That's basically the plot.
It's also the story of my life.
except for the Angelina Jolie part. That was
good.
I
that
know.
Monster thing though keeps haunting me.
It's just maybe that blow up doll. But anyways, it's an epic poem. It's an epic hero story. And these stories, going so far back, you know, 1,000 years or so, they're not tailored for today's audiences. They're not tailored with depth of character and everything. It's a hero story. It's about a guy who basically has to go and kick the shale out of this.
But according to director Robert Zemeckis, they make great 3D films.
Well, if it's worth seeing, see it in the theater. If it's worth seeing in the theater, see it in 3D. That's what I'm going to say to you. It's one of those movies that if you don't see it in 3D, you're going to lose something.
Right.
Because that's what it's made for. And there are a couple effects. The cheap shot, you know, sword in the face shots, which are really kind of stupid. But by and large, it's just an incredible visual experience. It does drag in the middle. Robin Wright Penn plays the queen, and she's not that attractive. you're like then when he goes to, you know, Angelina Jolie, Lady in the Lake, Water Demon, you're like, I can see why he'd go for that. But it's incredible to see. So see it in the theater, see it on 3D, but don't expect huge depth of story because it doesn't really have that.
Right, it's based on a poem.
An epic poem.
It's a poem. Yeah. I mean, how long can a poem really be?
It was like Troy.
How far can you stretch that?
Yeah, it was like Troy, which was based on the Iliad, and it's just a bunch of stories about the epic hero battles, and you know, you're not going to get your romantic comedy in there. You're not going to have your strong female character. You're not going to have Ripley from Aliens in this movie.
I'll tell you what else kind of bothered me about this movie, and this we did see in the reels that I saw at Comic-Con, is how just homoerotic this film is.
Yeah, there's a lot of naked men.
There's a lot
of
naked dudes.
Yeah, they balance it out with a lot of naked Angelina Jolie. But
yeah, but
well, you know, the thing is, and this is one of the things that bothered me in terms of the elements that they put in there. They had the stabbing in the camera poke you in the eye, and they also have Beowulf naked a lot in the movie, and I just wish they would have put him in a loincloth because they keep having to have swords and chalices and people's heads moving around randomly.
It's
kind of
like that Austin Powers thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. So
nice. So give us a rating.
Still, I'd say it kind of rocks.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say that we're going to go to a break. And we have returned to the Kevin Carr Movie Hour. Otherwise known as Fat Guys at the Movies.
Or Fat Guy at the Movie.
It is.
It would be more aptly named Fat Guy at the Movie and Fat Guy behind his computer at home or working at an unnamed retailer.
Fat Guy who writes the news. Fat Guy who actually sees the movies.
That's right.
So moving along, we have
that neither of us saw.
A movie that neither of us saw, but we do have a clip of Love in the Time of Cholera, which is based on a popular book.
There you go.
That's all I have to say. Let's play a clip.
I write this very short note to let you know that I love you.
I think of you every moment, and our love will triumph.
Who is he? He's a nobody.
At your age, love is an illusion.
Over the years, my love remained constant.
She married.
Yes, but I'm waiting for her husband to die.
You're crazy.
51 years, 9 months, and 4 days. That is how long I have loved you.
Okay. I have not loved you, Neil Miller, for 51 years. I don't know if I will. I don't know if I've started.
I don't even think I've loved you for 37 episodes.
No.
Or 38.
Or 39. We're on episode 39.
Oh, my. Here's all I have to say about Love in the Time of Cholera. If Javier Bardem doesn't kill anyone in this movie, I'm not interested.
Yeah, if he's not carrying around a giant shotgun with this enormous silencer on it, it's not worth seeing.
It wasn't even a shot. It was like a nail gun or something.
No. He had a shotgun. He had the thing that kills cows.
Right. And of course, we're going back to talking about No Country for Old Men.
We're not talking about Cholera.
Last week.
This is a movie I actually opted to go see Spam-a-Lot.
Instead.
It's in town, and so I went and saw that instead, which was, I think, a vastly superior
decision. So give us
decision.
Your review of Spam-a-Lot, then.
Spam-a-Lot was actually really good. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It's a weird mixture of kind of word-for-word Monty Python redos and these bizarre Broadway numbers that kind of come. And you lose a little bit of the Python humor, But it's still fun to watch, and if you know all the characters, you know, you're going to enjoy the show. And it's just a matter of time before they make Spamalot the movie.
Right. So if you have to give Spamalot a Fat Guys, the movie's grade.
I'll give Spamalot a rocks.
Okay. And Love in the Time of Cholera doesn't get a grade from either one of us because we both passed on the screening.
Yeah, and they screened it, so we can't say it sucked.
Right, we can't say it sucks. I would say...
I'd go out on a limb and say I probably think it would suck.
You know, if you're into those really sappy romances based on really sappy romance novels, then this movie's for you. It is what it is. If you've read the book, you know what the movie's going to be like. It's like movies like the Jane Austen Book Club and Jane Becoming Austen. Jane. And
that's the best part about it is it's at least not written by Jane Austen.
So if you're into that sort of thing... Who are we to stop you?
No, I will not stop you. I'm not going to buy your ticket.
But. Yes, but speaking of potentially stopping you from going to see a movie, who knows about Mr. Megoriam's Wonder Emporium?
Well, I know about Mr. Megoriam.
Kevin Carr knows.
Because I've seen it. You don't know.
This film stars Dustin Hoffman and Natalie Portman, Jason Bateman.
And a zebra.
And a zebra.
And a robot.
It is about a toy store.
Yes.
Best of my knowledge, I didn't see the film.
So far, you're doing well.
And the toy store is owned by this crazy guy.
Yeah.
And Natalie Portman works there.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've never been into any toy stores where there's a clerk that is as hot as Natalie Portman.
She's not, I have to tell you, she's not that hot in this movie.
Really?
She's disturbingly androgynous in this. I mean, you know what? She made V for Vendetta 2 years ago. Grow the hair back, lady. Just, you know, get it back on your head at some point.
Okay.
But
well,
before we go on.
While she grows back her hair, let's play you a clip.
We have a few serious problems. You've had several fictional characters on the books.
Like whom?
The king of planet Yahweh.
Oh, he's not fictional.
Sir, why do we need an accountant?
I'm leaving.
You're leaving?
I'm giving you the store.
You're giving me the store?
Surprise! The store is upset as indicated by its temper tantrum.
Temper tantrum?
I would like a lollipop.
It's a magical toy store. It can do all sorts of things.
See, there you go.
We actually were trying to get the magical king of the planet Yahweh on the show,
which is a veiled reference to Christianity.
Yeah, it was booked up.
Yeah,
publicist was
Jesus
like,
is a busy man this time of year. Let me tell you, it's really hard to get him on the show.
It is busy defending Christmas from all of those terrible Christmas movies that we named in episode
Claus,
38 of Fat Guys at the Movies.
Exactly.
Anyways, so what'd you think there, Mr.
Well, you
Carr?
Know, this is the kind of movie, if you're going to go see it, you have to go see it as a kid. You have to say to yourself, this is a G-rated movie, it's for little kids. It's not for preteens or even above, but it's got a lot of heart. And I kind of had a love-hate relationship because there are certain things I did like about it. The effects were cool and the story
Natalie
was
Portman.
Very cute.
It's hot.
What? No, she's not hot. She's not hot. Unfortunately, no. Shame on you. Natalie Portman.
All right, fair enough.
But there are some things that were a little irritating. Dustin Hoffman, his lispy accent is a little annoying in it. It has some dialogue, and there's a little kid in there who's not that good. But it's got a lot of heart, and it's a cute movie. I'm going to take my kids eventually because I think they're going to love it.
You know what the preview kind of reminded me of?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
This is terrible, because I will admit to owning this film on DVD. It kind of reminded me of Master of Disguise with Dana Carvey.
First of all,
I have no idea
why.
You own
that movie?
I do.
Shame on you. Shame on you. Why?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
You weren't like reviewing DVDs at the time. Did you go out and buy that?
I may have.
That's disgusting.
We all make mistakes.
It's nothing like that at all, I don't think.
Maybe it was just the title treatment.
It's possible. No, Mr. Megoriam's Wonder Emporium, it has its flaws, and it's not... It's delightfully silly. That's sort of like would be the pull quote I'd use. It's delightfully silly, but don't expect, you know, anything huge and wondrous from it. But it's cute. It's very cute.
Okay. You know,
it's kind of like it's a kind of rocks type movie.
It's a kind of rocks
kind
type
of
movie.
Rocks. It's not.
You're very soft on these movies this week. I will say
they're good, but they're not the huge things you'd love to see. You know, I mean, this is sort of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory without the darkness of Tim Burton, and it's a little bit annoying.
Without Johnny Depp,
but Jason Bateman's hilarious in it.
Jason Bateman is hilarious in everything.
Everything he does.
Yes.
Even dramas.
Even he was even funny in The Kingdom.
Well, he was supposed to be funny in The Kingdom.
Yeah, but it was a drama.
He was funny in The Kingdom. He was funny in Smokin' Aces. He was funny in...
Oh, he was very funny in Smokin' Aces.
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. I mean, it's the power of the Bateman.
You know, I was a huge Jason Bateman fan all the way back to Silver Spoons. So...
I don't even know what that is.
That's because you were like, even not even alive. It was Ricky Schroeder's big break.
Anyways.
Right. Well, we got to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about movie stuff.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. And we're setting you up for the second half of our show. When we roll into that second half, we're going to talk about the 10 most disturbing nude scenes in movie history. So, as you can imagine, Kevin Carr's nude scenes will be on there.
Well, I haven't been nude in any movie that's had a theatrical release.
I see.
Let's just put it that way.
Yes, we will also sound off on the topics of the week, and we have a very special surprise for you, a very special contest.
Yay.
I believe. I guess you could call it a contest.
Yeah, you can honest to God call it a contest. It is. I don't know where the equivocation is on this one, but yes, it's a contest.
So we'll see how that goes. But before we get there, we've got to talk about the box office.
That's right.
And what's coming out this week. We've obviously talked about Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium, Love in the Time of Cholera, and Beowulf.
Beowulf.
And oddly enough, the widest release of the weekend is Mr. Magorium's.
That's right. By like 10 theaters or something like that.
What's that?
It's like by like 10 theaters.
No, it's like 400 theaters more than Beowulf. Beowulf's only opening in 2,800 theaters.
Really? The numbers I have are 3,100.
All right, fair enough.
Whatever.
We're obviously looking at different numbers.
Maybe they're not counting the 3D screens or something like that.
Or the IMAX.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're looking for IMAX tickets, you can still enter over at filmschoolrejects.com.
That's true.
We're giving away 20 pairs of IMAX tickets.
But it's definitely worth seeing. I mean, it's actually the digital projection of this is on the level of Monster House. And were you opening a can of pop there, Neil? Try to be very
soft.
Don't
worry about what
quiet.
It is.
It's on the level of The Nightmare Before Christmas and Monster House and Meet the Robinsons 3D. It's even better than the projected 3D you get in an IMAX screen. So
the bigger question is, how do you think it's going to do?
I think it's going to do well. It's probably going to top the weekend. I mean, everyone's projecting that, and I have no reason to discount them like I did last week, and I was correct.
Right.
We were right, by the way, except you didn't pick the B-movie.
Well,
going over American Gangster.
Yeah, Fred Claus. We picked
we were
Fred
right.
Claus to finish third.
We were right. Although, yeah. Lions for Lambs did happen to come in before the Paris Hilton sex tape.
Yeah, which is disappointing because I even went to see the Paris Hilton sex tape.
Do you have a theater?
Just not the kind of theater you'd want to go to.
Yeah, one of those where the floors aren't sticky from dropping your milk duds, that's for sure.
So this week, I agree. I think Beowulf will win the weekend. I think Mr. Magorium is going to be in the top like four.
Yeah, it's
but
it's going to be huge.
B-movie has still kind of got that, and I don't think anybody's saying enough bad stuff about B-movie to where it's going to go away so quickly.
Well, and I'll tell you, because I do have kids and they watch the kids' networks all the time, I'm seeing a lot of ads for both B-movie and Mr. Magorium's. I mean, Mr. Magorium's all over the place, but it's kind of a hard sell to kids because you got Dustin Hoffman, you got Natalie Portman. It's not flying cartoon bees, which are very easy to look at the bees and go, oh yeah, that's a kid's movie, that's a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Mr. Magorium, it's it seems like a harder sell. It's not automatically gonna say G. It's rated G. If you look for it, it's rated G, but you don't realize it you know, off the bat. So I think that's gonna suffer in the marketing, and it's not as I guess for the masses as B movie is.
I agree. And my sleeper this week is actually a film that is new in 27 theaters. It is National Lampoon Presents Electric Apricot.
Okay. Is that a sleeper? How much money do you think that's going to make?
$50.
$50 per screen or just total?
Total.
Total.
Yes. It's going to be right there with Zissix Road, the lowest grossing film of all time.
No, I think Zizix Road, they actually had to, they released it because they had contractually had to release it.
Yeah, it was like, it made $37.
So and they released it in one theater and one screen, yeah.
Yep, for like one day.
With Katherine Heigl from, you know.
Which, I don't even understand this. She's big deal.
Well, you know what, and I saw a screening tonight for August Rush, which we'll talk about that next week. But wow, she's got a real stinker coming up called 12 Dresses, I think, or 27 Dresses. Yeah. And its biggest tagline is, it goes from the screenwriter who wrote The Devil Wears Prada, which to me reminds me of when they were pushing Daddy Day Camp and they said from the studio that brought you Daddy Day Camp.
From four of the seven writers of the third Saw movie.
You could take anything from 20th Century Fox and say from the studio that brought you the entire Star Wars trilogy or six movies. You know, you'd say, whatever, The Hills Have Eyes 2 from the studio that brought you Star Wars. So,
I think they should start doing that for all movies.
Yes, just
they should just start marketing them so ridiculously.
Yeah, like no reservation. August Rush from the studio that brought you Batman Begins. August Rush.
Sweet.
But I do think, yeah, I think the give surprise.
Give us your Kevin Carr top 10. I want to hear it.
Top 10. I think it's going to be Beowulf. I think B-movie and is going to come in close to American Gangster. I think Mr. Magorium is going to top out, though, and over Fred Claus. I think Fred Claus is just going to tank. It's not getting good word of mouth.
The Santa Claus 3 is going to come back from the dead and beat Fred Claus this weekend.
Yeah, it's just there are going to be movies that people are going to physically bring into the theater and watch on little DVD players.
Portable DVD players.
I think the one to watch, Love in the Time of Cholera, you'll be lucky if that makes the top 10. I think Lions for Lambs is going to completely drop off. It might not even make the top 10 this week because that was such a disaster last week because the projections at the beginning of the weekend were 11 million for the weekend. And then the Friday numbers came in and they adjusted those to say in the 7 million range. And it didn't even make that. It was in the $6 million range. So it's just been dropping so fast. Right. But I think No Country for Old Men is going to start ramping up there with its limited release, and then it's going to go crazy. Now, yeah. I mean, crazy for the independent.
Right, and I'm actually hoping, crossing my fingers, that Why Did I Get Married jumps back into the top 10. Just okay. For you, Kevin Carr, because I know you love that movie.
I think it wasn't that bad.
Anyways, we'll go to break here and we'll come back and we will give you some nude scenes to think about.
That's right. You know, Neil, the big talk of Beowulf isn't just the 3D or the CGI, it's Angelina Jolie naked.
In 3D.
Which is pretty amazing because they kind of improve on her. Because she's which looking is
hard
a little...
hard to believe.
Well, but she's looking a little rough. I mean, have you seen the trailers for Wanted? She's... Mm.
Which looks pretty awesome, by the way.
Looks pretty cool, except she does kind of look like the strung-out prostitute. A tad.
It's all right. She's taking it back to those Gia days.
Yeah, the Gia days. Well, I think it's just, you know, stealing babies from Africa is
it can wear you down.
Wears her down.
Let me tell you, from personal experience, it's not the easiest thing to do in the world.
Yeah. And for the
especially
ladies,
if you're not doing it legally like I was.
That's right. And you're just, you weren't doing anything with them. You were just, they're in a closet. I think you still got a couple in there. Help, let me out.
Wow.
For the ladies who aren't interested in Angelina Jolie naked, there is plenty of Beowulf naked in this movie, probably disturbingly more than there needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But even worse, there's Anthony Hopkins, a very doughy Anthony Hopkins.
In 3D.
In 3D, naked. You get
lest
a
I
nice,
remind you that it is in 3D.
It's in 3D. His toga falls off at one point, and let's just say you see Anthony Hopkins' ass huge.
In 3D. Yes. So with
thank
that,
God it wasn't in Smell-O-Vision.
It has, wow. It has inspired us to run down our list of the 10 most disturbing nude scenes in movie history. And I will tell you, Kevin, looking at this list, I think this is one of the better lists that we've done.
Yeah, this is going to be one. I challenge anybody out there to read this list and then start flaming us out going, no, this wasn't disturbing at all. And in fact, it turned me on.
Yes. Please do, because please. That could be fun. Because
then we're going to arrest you.
Anywho, we'll start with number 10. And, of course, any list that includes nudity in film would be incomplete without Harvey Keitel's man meat from the piano.
That's right. Did he play the piano with it? I can't remember.
I don't know what he did with it, but it was there.
It was there for the world to see. And he's one of those actors. He's really weird looking naked.
He's really weird looking with clothes on.
Well, with
clothes
on.
I don't know if you've really watched his movies.
He's sort of like a giant midget naked. That's my assessment. Little person, I'm sorry. Giant little person.
Fair enough.
Okay. Number 9, The Witches from Roman Polanski's Macbeth. Trying to be very, he's trying to be very artistic and doing Shakespeare. And he's like, well, I'm going to really go gritty. And so you got a bunch of witches naked. These witches do not look like Glinda the Good Witch.
Right.
They look like...
Which is too bad because...
Okay, you know, go to any water aerobics class and imagine the women in the pool naked. That's the witches scene.
Thank you, Kevin. Polanski. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight.
Okay.
Number 8 is anything with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be an inappropriate nude scene in every one of Will Ferrell's films.
Even if you don't see his junk, even if you don't see his hairy buttocks, you're seeing... How many times do we have to be confirmed that, yes, he had his appendix out?
Yes.
I mean, there's scars there.
That's actually true. Yeah. But I will say the one that comes to mind instantly is from Old School.
Old School.
Running down the street. I mean, but it's disturbing, but it's still funny.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter
But even like, what was the skating movie, Blades of Glory? He's half naked in that movie. He's like half naked in every movie.
Yeah, he just wanted to show off his lovely lady lumps in that movie.
Lovely.
Moving along.
Okay. Billy Gibson from The Shining. Now, if you don't remember who that is the old hag in room, 237?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 237. And she starts out as a gorgeous, hot, sexy thing. Starts making out with Jack Nicholson and turns into like... your inbred grandmother nude.
I don't have any inbred grandmothers.
Well, you do in that closet with all the
African babies African that I stole from Angelina Jolie.
You're next. This is before your time.
Number 6 is Jay Davidson in The Crying Game.
Which you totally dated yourself when you're like, what's that about? When we were compiling the list. And I said, Neil,
dude.
Shame on you. But then again, you were like 12 when this came out. I wouldn't have been showing The Crying Game to a 12-year-old.
Yeah. My mom already screwed up my childhood with Poltergeist.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think she was going to go any further.
Well, I think it would be a problem if you're saying, no, really, you know, fifth grade class has to watch The Crying Game.
I think they should at this point.
If you don't know The Crying Game, go watch The Crying Game. You'll see the nude scene. You'll get disturbed. Enough said.
Yes.
Number 5. This is honest to God. This is her name. This is her stage name. The Fat Lady Stripper, a.k.a. the character T-Rex from Orgasmo. Have you seen Orgasmo?
Yes.
Yes. This is the where they didn't get the where they didn't use the stunt double for Trey Parker's character.
Right.
And a woman, I guess the girth of both you and me combined, came in to take it off with the Eric Cartman voice.
Nice.
Very disturbing.
Nice. And number 4 is sports commentator Terry Bradshaw in Failure to Launch. This one was a shocker. You just didn't see this coming.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you go, you know what? A romantic comedy just isn't complete without Terry Bradshaw's lumpy butt cheeks.
Yeah. But I will say, though, this film did inspire me. Someday when I am old...
I'm going to have
a naked room in my house, and you're not invited over.
We're not recording there, I'll tell you that for sure, because the last thing we need.
I'm going to have a naked... I want one of those.
Just don't use...
Terry Bradshaw doesn't need to be there, but I want one.
No leather seats, please.
Wow.
All right, number 3. Now, this is another one that you aren't familiar with, because this movie was made before you were born.
But that we were forced to watch on YouTube before the show.
I showed clips... I actually didn't actually get the hardcore clips of this, but and this isn't actually a full-blown theatrical release, but Pink Flamingos, one of the most famous trash movies ever made, John Waters from 1972, The Singing Asshole. There's no other way to say it because that's how it's credited. And this is a guy who dances around in a G-string and then pulls the G-string away and his rectal rim sings, lip syncs with the music. It's an amazing thing to watch, actually.
His rectal rim.
Well, you know, come up with something creative.
Fair enough. Number two, equally as disturbing as a butthole that sings, is Kathy Bates in About Schmidt.
Yes.
I mean, there's just some things that you just don't need to put on film.
It was one of those that you're watching her, and you're like, oh, no, she's not. Oh, yes, she is. And the scene keeps going.
Right.
It just keeps going.
I don't even understand. I mean, at least they could have offset it with some hot chick.
And she was proud of herself, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be proud of myself if I got on screen and was naked like that in front of a lot
I
of
would
people.
Look naked like that if I were on screen.
Yeah,
that's the
kind
point.
Of what... All right. But, man, just... Well,
you're speechless.
You this don't know is disturbing just to talk about at this point.
I can't wait for you're going to be the one who has to pull all the pictures and put them on the website. That's going to be fun. But number one, topping the list is, and I might mispronounce one of their last names, but it's Sacha Baron Cohen and Ken Davidian. I think is how you pronounce his name.
Ken Davidian.
Davidian. Okay.
Yep.
In Borat, Cultural You're Learning to Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
The infamous wrestling match running through the hall into the medical conference, buck naked.
And I will say, not the most disturbing part of this, because the most disturbing thing is Ken Davidian's huge hairy ass all over the scene. But the funniest thing...
His ass was like... It was enormous yet non-existent at the same time. It just sort of sloped down like the side of the Alps.
Thank you for analyzing it for us.
Analyzing it. No pun intended.
Wow. But the funniest thing about the whole scene is the Cops-style black bar that they used to cover up where Borat's junk
apparently
would be.
3 foot long.
And the damn thing has got to be about 35 inches long.
You're going to smack somebody in the head and they're going to lose teeth.
Right. I did not know that is how they rolled in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Ila Fisher and she'll let you know. Let you know if that's what impregnated her belly.
Yes.
Honorable mentions. I'm going to throw out Diane Keaton and Something's Got to Give. Because she still looks, for her age, she looks good, but for her age, we shouldn't be seeing her naked. And you want to do the other honorable mention?
The last one is actually a two-part, two movies.
Twofer.
It's Lynn Shay, and you'll remember her as the crazy landlord in Kingpin, where she did not get married. She did not get naked.
But it was actually strangely more disturbing.
But it was equally as disturbing because it caused Woody Harrelson to puke a lot. But she did show off a plastic pair of boobs.
Pendulous breasts, I think one way to say
yes,
it.
Yes, in There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, and unlike the general rule for fat guys at the movies,
Boobs not make this movie better.
Yeah, boobs are not making, and whether they're Kathy Bates' boobs or whether they're Ken Davidian's boobs in Borat, you know, no matter whose boobs they are,
yep,
they're not working out for me.
And realistically, there's nothing that can save these films.
Well, from a sexual, you
there's
I mean, I love Borat. It made me feel dirty. I needed a shower after the movie.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, so there you have it. The 10 most disturbing nude scenes in movie history, according to the fat guys at the movies. And I think that's pretty straightforward.
That's right.
It's a bunch of nude scenes that disturbed the crap out of us.
So go to fatguysatthemovies.com. Take a look at me, nude, on the cover, top of the show.
Sure.
And we'll... And picture me in a movie.
Yeah. And we'll be back. And welcome back to all of our listeners on the radio out there in Wyoming.
Radioland, Wyoming.
Yes, and if you're listening to us on the radio, which we hope you are,
okay.
You just missed the 10 most disturbing nude scenes in movie history. So if you'd like to hear that, go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can listen to the lost segment of our show.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is completely advised if you're offended by anything related to Kathy Bates.
In fact, if you're offended by anything, you shouldn't be listening to us anyways.
Exactly.
Turn off the radio or and then turn us back on when the show's over. So we don't get right.
Well, no, I mean, just turn your radio down. Don't turn it off. We need the ratings.
Or put your fingers in your ears and go la 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 la.
That's what I do.
That's what I do whenever Neil talks.
Anyways, so it is time for us to sound off. We have some topics of the week, and we also have a very special contest to announce. Woo-hoo. A very special Fat Guys at the Movies contest.
All right.
So, Kevin, we'll start with our first topic. We are now about a week and a half into the Writers Guild of America strike, and there appears to be no end in sight. Is this thing ever going to end?
Yes, it'll end in February, and I'll tell you why. Because no one's going to want to go back to work before the holidays. The only people that are suffering are the daily talk shows. And, you know, Ellen went from, you know, giving away dogs to crossing picket lines. And she's really the only casualty of this whole thing where she's getting some flack from people. You know what? The world's not going to end if we don't have the Tonight Show every night. So I think once January hits, when the industry should be rolling, is when it's really going to start to feel it. Right now, it's just a lot of talk.
Okay.
There you go.
I will say, though, and this is a prediction that I have, if this strike goes to the summer, it's going to be really bad because that is when the Screen Actors Guild contract is up, and they've already very publicly stated they're in support of the Writers Guild. So if this lasts all the way to June, we're in a lot of trouble.
I don't think
so. I hope it ends before then.
I don't think it'll last that long. It'll go through. It'll go through February, March tops.
Okay, fair enough. You heard it first, Kevin.
That's
Carr.
Right.
And next topic, we got our first look at Zachary Quinto from Heroes as Spock in the new Star Trek movie. What do you think?
I think he looks good. I think it's funny because I started watching Heroes on DVD after he was cast, and I'm watching this movie and I'm watching the show, and I'm like, wow, he does look like Spock. Mm-hmm. Then I saw pictures of him, and he actually looks like the young versions of Spock they've done in other movies. So I think he's going to be fabulous in it.
Fair enough. I will say this. I think that he looks like a good Spock. Ever since Comic-Con, I've thought that he would make a good young Spock. The rest of the cast sucks.
Yes, you're right. No, I agree with you on that. Yeah.
All right. Here's one specially for you.
Yes.
Plans were confirmed to remake Friday the 13th. Now, that is not the only news. It is going to be produced by Michael Bay's company, Platinum Dunes, and directed by Texas Chainsaw Massacre director Marcus Nispel. Your thoughts on this?
That's my thoughts on the whole thing. I'm big surprise. I mean, it's like the Amityville Horror. It's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. It's like When a Stranger Calls. It's going to be just a remake. It if you don't take it for anything more than it was. If you look at the original Friday the 13th, it's not untouchable.
Well, I guess here's my concern is that we really are running out of original
Are we
going to
soil
ideas.
The good name of Michael Bay? That's your word.
Well, Michael Bay's got his own soiling to do with Transformers too. So, okay. But my concern is, why can't we just make some original stuff? You know, we're inundated with sequels and remakes and reimaginings and rehashings and refried movies.
But that's how Hollywood's always been. It's always been that way. But James Bond movies have been made for over 40 years. You know, Star Wars movies were made in the 70s.
Yeah, but they made six of them over the, 30 years?
Well, that's just because George Bush is...
And they're
George,
not... Like, they didn't
George
remake
Lucas
Star
lazy.
Wars.
No, you're right. Yeah.
And if they ever tried to, it'd be terrible.
Oh, of course. Well, they did remake it because they re-released it, and now they're going to be doing it in 3D. I don't know. It's not bothering me because... Okay, so we got another slasher movie coming out. I don't know if it's going to... These movies are done on the cheap. They tend to make money, but it may also bomb like Hostel 2 did, which was done on the cheap and made like $6 million.
I just really think, unfortunately, audiences will go see something like this, but at some point, when are we all going to look at each other and go, we've had enough of this crap. Make us a good movie.
I don't think it's going to draw as many people as like Halloween Remake did because a lot of people went because of Rob Zombie. I don't think anybody knows who Marcus Nispel is. And they might say the director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But frankly, last year's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning, didn't do well either. So
right.
These sort of remakes and re-envision, I think they're puttering out because they've just mined as much as they could.
Yes. And the last topic I brought is that audiences will be getting their next look at the mysterious 1808 or Cloverfield movie with a trailer in front of Beowulf, which did not happen at the screening.
Beowulf.
Is this movie getting too much hype? I get the feeling that it's going to suck.
I don't think it's going to suck. I don't know if it's going to live up to the hype, but I think all the hype right now is so centered on the internet that it hasn't gone outside of that. I mean, everyone saw that first trailer in front of the Transformers, and then everything went pounding on the internet for the hype.
Right.
But outside of the internet, it's not getting much hype at all. So
I have four I have four words.
Yes, sir.
For this movie. Yes. Snakes on a plane.
Nah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know enough about it. I mean, we'll see. I'm reserving judgment.
Yes, we will see. I'll have a. I'm actually going to go see Beowulf on Friday, and sometime over the weekend I'll post something saying what I thought. But finally, this is the biggest news of the week. We have a little bit of a contest, a Fat Guys at the Movies caption contest.
That's right, a big fat caption contest.
Yes, we have three copies of 24 Season 6 that we are going to give away over at FilmSchoolRejects.com. All you have to do is provide a caption for a picture. Now, this picture was designed by Film School Rejects web developer and Fat Guys the Movie's producer, Richard Murphy. And it features us.
And
in all of
Kiefer
our
Sutherland.
And Kiefer Sutherland. It is our appearance in Season 6 of 24.
That's right. You'll have to look at the picture carefully and try and find us.
Yes.
It's like Where's Waldo?
So all you have to do is the instructions will be there in our show notes and over at Film School Rejects. Just make a caption, send it over to us. We'll pick the one we like. We'll announce it on next week's show.
It's a creativity contest. The three best captions win.
Yes. Three best captions win. We'll see. This can only be entertaining.
Yes, exactly.
So just go ahead and check out FilmSchoolRejects.com for more. With that, it's time to go to a break.
Ta-ta.
Hey. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We're going to ask Kevin what he thought, final grades on all these films that he saw that I did not see. So we'll start with Beowulf. 3D epic featuring a 3D nude Angelina Jolie.
Well, I want to preface this. In case you're thinking that you're going to see everything, you don't. Because when she comes out of the water and she's nude, the water just sheets off her body, but somehow clings to her jumblies and naughty bits. So it's not as great as it could be, but it looks pretty nice.
All right. So you're great, sir.
Am I grading the nude scene or just the whole
the
movie?
The whole movie.
The whole movie. It kind of rocks, but definitely go see it in IMAX or 3D. Go see it in 3D.
Okay. And then, of course, neither of us saw Love in the Time of Cholera, but we can't give it a preemptive suck because we had the opportunity to see it. We just had better things to do. But you did grade Spamalot for us.
Spamalot is a kind of rocks.
Okay. Excellent. And finally, what was that other one we talked about?
The other one, Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium.
What are
you smoking, man?
I'm sorry. I just blanked out. I was still thinking about our cool contest.
You're thinking of Beowulf and the naked Angelina Jolie.
That's actually the truth.
There you go.
So what do you have to say for Mr. Magorium?
Mr. Magorium kind of rocks as well.
Wow. See, this is what happens when I can't disagree with you. You're like, everything just kind of rocks.
That's not why. I come up with my reviews on my own. You're the one who's like, well, you know, Kevin really didn't like Lions for Lambs, so I kind of liked it. Yes, I did.
Enough.
Like the people on Film School Rejects where I'm getting people writing responses to my reviews that are longer.
Yes, if you would like to write your own reviews of the movies that Kevin Carr reviews, just go to Film School Rejects, leave your review in the comment area, and, you know, it'll
be there. This one guy's response, and it was like it's not his first response.
Yeah, it was like his third or fourth response.
It's like 25% longer than my review.
You guys are having one of the most long-winded internet conversations I've ever seen in my life.
I read like the first paragraph, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not even going to read this guy's response. I'm not wasting my time.
That's basically what he did to your review.
Yeah.
But it took him 3.5 paragraphs to explain that.
But I'm not complaining to him. I'm just telling you that's what I'm doing.
So we mentioned all the movies coming out next week. What are we going to talk about next week, Kevin?
We didn't mention anything. Oh, next week.
Well,
we mentioned that
there's 27 movies coming out.
Yes. Of those movies, Enchanted, the Disney movie with Amy Adams, the beautiful Amy Adams.
Yes.
We've got August Rush with the beautiful yet stuffy, what's her name? Who was it? Felicity. Carrie Russell. We have The Mist with the beautiful Thomas Jane. And Hitman. And
with that chick with the tattoos.
Yeah, with the beautiful tattoo chick. I don't know who she is, but
yeah,
yummy.
She's good stuff. Contact info, you can catch us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And, get us on the iTunes Store. Search Fat Guys the Movies or whatever our show's called. If you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. This is going downhill quickly. We will see you next week.
Baylor.
No, you're the one they call Beowulf.
Beowulf.